It's happening.
Yeah. It is. It's happening. Welcome back into the Eric Cain Show. It's 11 o'clock on a Friday. We're at Rusty Wallace Honda. Shenanigans. Engage.
It's time for the pick segment. It's 11 o'clock. Cue the jingle.
You got that, didn't you? You got that, yeah.
Because it's time.
They're both bold. Jake is fat. Chad is old.
Last week, gentlemen, was not a banner week for any of us in the pick segment. As we say hello, Jake Bull, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you back on the panel.
Gentlemen.
After you discovered last week that no good deed goes unpunished.
That's right. That's what you get for being nice.
Top of the morning to you.
Chad Campbell, good morning.
Good morning, and Jake wasn't being nice.
I can't welcome you here because we're at your place, so.
I'm glad you're here. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
They're not, but.
I'm going to need an office here before too long.
We've enjoyed a lot of your popcorn this morning, and had fun. So.
It's been, like, kind of fun. The last little bit has been a little down, and, you know.
I made Eric a little mad earlier.
Other than that, it's been great.
Last week, Eric and Logan went 3-3.
Jake, not our best showing.
Jake, you went 3-3.
Yes, I did. It's one of my better shows, Eric.
Chad and Cooper went 2-4.
That's ew.
Well, hold it. Chad, ew. That was terrible. Hold it. Wait a minute. Don't talk about
terrible.
His son that way.
And I went 1-5.
That's terrible.
Now that's terrible. We can all agree that's terrible.
So for
you
the
someone, I'll find a couple more tickets
you
for you.
You could not try to go 1-5 this week and
listen,
do it again.
Do you realize that you had your Challenge best week accepted. While you weren't here?
Hey, what's the score? Are you ahead of
I
me?
I don't know.
No.
Are you ahead of me?
No, we're tied.
I'm going to put.
I'm pretty sure you guys are even.
I'm going to put
a lot of trash talk here for a 50-50 game.
For the season. Stupid.
You guys are a toss-up game for
stupid
sure.
Stupid Logan is number one.
That's right, yes.
13-5.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah, you can change
because
your pace whenever you want.
Because we pay to have you all here each Friday, we would like Logan removed from the contest.
He's a couple years. We already took Joel out. I got rid of Joel. He's a couple years away from it, but he's on our radar, right? Okay. He's on our radar. Right. Doing too well.
Eric is in second place inexplicably at 12-6.
That's what I do. Second place.
Jake, you and Chad, 10-8. And my son and I have taken very, very different paths to being 9-9. He's picking puffs. I'm actually trying. And
he's way cuter than you, too.
Oh, 100%.
What's it like being the most ugly person in your household?
Well, Brian, I can answer that.
Yeah, I can answer.
Yeah, actually, we all probably could, right? So, well, never mind. That kind of backfired.
Well, my breath is better than the dog. So
that kind of backfired.
That's kind of where you are. That's
Wembley's crushing you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cincinnati is at Indiana. Cincinnati is only a 4-point favorite in this game, despite being the number 8 team in the country. We talked about this game on Upset of the Week yesterday. Our buddy Tyler Wyatt says he actually thinks the wrong team is favored in this game. Chad, I assume you'd like to go last being homestanding.
Yes.
So, Jake Bull.
No guts.
Cincinnati or Indiana?
You, no brain.
You know, I thought Indiana would maybe carry over some from what they did last year, and that's why in week one I picked them to beat Iowa, which they pretty well got throttled in that game.
They did.
I do think Cincinnati is good. I think Cincinnati's got a good football coach. I don't think he'll be coaching there next year, but I think Cincinnati's going to win this game.
The Cincinnati. Eric Ainge.
I'm going with the Bearcats, too.
Logan Ward.
I'm with Cincinnati as well. Michael Penix hasn't been great this year. Desmond Ridder has been great this year for Cincinnati, completing 72% of his passes. Since he has a better defense than Indiana does, so I like Cincinnati to win, and I like them to cover as well.
I mentioned this on Upside of the Week yesterday, so I should probably take Indiana, but I'm going to go Cincinnati.
Tired of going 1-5, huh?
Yeah.
I just think they have.
can't wait for Cooper to beat you this week.
The puff pick did come in for Indiana.
Well, let me just tell you, that's going to keep me off the island because Cincinnati has played good, but who have they played? Murray State, okay? At least Indiana got tested. Now, Eric can tell you, I don't know. Does that matter?
Nah.
Okay, I'll take Indiana then.
Nah.
Taking Indiana.
This is going great so far.
Well, Bad Take said Cincinnati, so I'm going with Indiana. They don't call him Bad Take because he makes good takes.
We can't tell them what they call you on the radio, but, you know.
I picked opposite of the guy who went 1-5 last week.
I was going to say, I call him Chad Campbell.
Yeah.
And you, sir, are Jake Bull.
Which is code for, no, never mind.
Game number two, 15th-ranked Virginia Tech is a road underdog at unranked West Virginia. Jake, are the Mountaineers really 3 points better than Virginia Tech?
You know, I don't quite understand this, but and typically when that's the case, it's obvious Vegas knows something that I don't. I'm not sure why West Virginia, other than the fact that their home team, is a three-point favorite here, because I think the Hokies are going to win.
Do you even know what a Hokie is? It's a turkey.
It's a dance.
What kind of turkey?
Gobble, gobble.
It's a hokey pokey turkey.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Is it not a dance move?
It's a
kind
dance.
Of
turkey.
You do the hokey pokey.
And you turn yourself around.
You guys think I'm wrong.
That's
I'm not.
That's what it's all about.
It's a dance.
Okay, we'll go with that, but look up hokey and see what you get.
Can't be.
Eric?
It can't be worse than anything else in my search history, so I'm fine with that. Give me.
He doesn't have a Cumulus computer anymore.
Give me. give me Virginia Tech.
Eric says Virginia Tech. Logan.
I've gone back and forth literally in the last 15 minutes on this game. I bet Virginia Tech to cover, so I might as well pick them to win outright.
Makes sense.
Says Virginia Tech. I'm going to take Virginia Tech as well. Seeing them against North Carolina gives me hope in them. Puff Pick, though, says give them the favorite, West Virginia.
Cooper's my dude.
The reason that Cooper is taking West Virginia is because he's a smart young man. The Mountaineers will beat the Turkeys, the Hokies, I mean.
Now, explain this to me. He's got a, probably a 9,000
okay, listen. Here's the thing. Okay, you want to
chart
know
over
what,
here.
What it says.
And
it
all
tells
he
you
says
what a Hokie
is, Cooper's a smart young man. I'll take the Hokies over the.
Everybody needs to.
I mean, I want you to spit some wisdom here,
okay,
man.
Listen, this is called the Black Diamond Trophy up there, okay? It's not as big as the Battle of Callahan Drive
now,
Belt.
Now we're getting some wisdom.
That's for sure.
I thought he was making this up.
But look, I'm going to tell you, there's no chance that the Hokies, if you look up what a Hokie is, there's no chance a Hokie beats a Mountaineer. It's
listen,
not going to happen.
Listen to what Hokie, the first response is on Webster's, the dictionary. I read the whole thing one time. You don't have to laugh. I'm in mid form.
He means the title. He read the whole title.
Spark Notes did in seventh grade.
Pronounced dictionary.
So the first one is a good-hearted, slightly hokey song. I'm done today. Here is this. Eye contact with it.
It's
no,
dance.
That wasn't how we do it. That's the finger flail.
That was the hokey handshake.
That's right exactly
there.
What that was. Monkey in the zoo.
It was hokey something. 19th-ranked Arizona State, a 3.5-point favorite on the road at 23rd-ranked BYU. Jake Bull.
You know, I think the Fighting Herm Edwards are going to go over there, and they're going to lose to the Cougars.
Picking BYU. Eric Ainge.
I'm going to take BYU, too.
That a family requirement?
It is. Storm and Mormons. Let's go.
Storm and Mormons.
Take the ground. Take high ground.
Logan.
I'll go BYU as well, guys. They're more battle-tested, having beat a pretty good Arizona team last week. And, you know, Arizona State has played a UNLV and Southern Utah, two very, very bad teams. So I'll take BYU at home outright to win.
I'm going to take BYU. Cooper's Puff Pick, though, is Arizona State.
Mm. Sucks to suck, Cooper.
Okay, so listen. You all obviously don't know that BYU hasn't opened a season 3-0 since Jake was under 300 pounds.
Ty Detmer?
Okay? I'm talking 60 years. Over 60 years. So I'm taking Arizona State.
Mm. Yeah, takes
now,
Arizona
does,
State as
does
well.
The previous 60 years have anything to do with this game Saturday?
Ask ball fans. It damn sure does. That's all we got, dude. Our series against Tennessee Tech, we're 3-0. Boom. That's all I want to hear today. Nothing else.
All right. That's great.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be here all day.
Yeah. Until noon.
I'll be here till 12.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to Gamboos to get a haircut.
Yeah. Read the dictionary.
I dabble.
What we need a picture of is Eric reading a dictionary and be upside down.
I'd be on my phone. I wouldn't even be listening.
He said dictionary without chuckling. Which
what did you just say? I didn't even hear you.
So it's Friday.
I'm not listening.
22nd-ranked Auburn is on the road at 10th-ranked Penn State. Penn State doing the whiteout, yet Auburn's going to be the one that's in all white uniforms. Jake, is Auburn battle-tested enough to play Penn State on the road?
The reason they're having a whiteout at Penn State is because the white team is going to be the one that wins. Penn State can't handle the SEC. Auburn's going to go in there. It's a listen, their offense, and I know they've not had two quality opponents yet, but their offense has been lighting it up. They're going to go to Penn State and do the same thing.
Your cage. Penn State or Auburn?
I'm gonna take Penn State.
Is this part?
But
of
I don't feel great about that.
Having to cheer against Auburn all the time.
My wife's over there. She says shaking her head. Auburn's
anymore.
Not it. Penn State is clearly she has bad judgment. She did pick me. So
yeah, bad eyesight.
Eyesight. Yeah.
She's like, honey, I really need to go. I think I might need glasses. You're like, no,
you don't.
Please don't.
No, you
glasses.
Don't. Don't you dare. Sure you don't. Don't you dare.
You don't need eyeglasses. You need a psychiatrist. That's what you need.
You know, the late, great Norm MacDonald once said, you know, I was feeling bad about myself. I said, honey, I look in the mirror and I see an old, fat, washed-up man. I need you to tell me something positive. Honey, your eyesight is perfect. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Rest in peace. Logan Ward, Auburn or Penn State?
Yeah, Auburn has looked pretty good the first 2 weeks of the year, but they've played nobody, especially with the defense that Penn State will throw out on the field. They looked very good against Wisconsin. Bo Nix is split, home and away guys. 22 touchdowns at home, 3 interceptions at home. On the road, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I trust Sean Clifford more than I trust Bo Nix in this situation, so I'll take Penn State to win this game.
Chad?
You know what the big deal is about the whiteout at Penn State?
What's that?
Nothing. They're 8-8 in games that they have a whiteout. So yeah. I'm taking Auburn.
That's like a checkerboard
deal.
Look
at you spitting wisdom since I insulted you.
Went.
Some well, okay. wisdom. Look
That's
at
what it's all about. You, you guys didn't do that right. Put your hands out, you know.
Alabama is a 14.5-point favorite at Florida.
Next time we do our handshake, we're all going to have to turn our heads and cough at the exact same time.
As the rules state, anytime we pick an Alabama game, it is against the spread. Does Alabama cover at Florida?
This spread is way too low.
What is the spread?
14.5. Way too low. You can take them by 140.5.
Okay, I'll take them.
Yeah. Alabama's
deal.
To absolutely cripple the Gators.
Eric?
I think Alabama's going to cover that very easily.
Logan.
So I can make a compelling case for both teams. Guys, Alabama, most talented team in the country.
Listen.
You trust Dan Mullen to at home in front of a sold-out Swamp to put points on the board. The problem with that is, guys, I've been on the record, been yelling this for 2 weeks. I think they have the wrong quarterback starting. So I'm going to take Alabama. I don't feel great about this game either way. Personally, no, we're not doing this. I would say, hey, take the over, but I'll take Alabama to cover 14.5.
Can we mute him from here?
No.
He's master control, right?
Yeah.
All right, continue.
Though it made my wife upset, Cooper had to take Alabama in this situation.
Mm. Had to or picked the puff?
He picked the puff.
Okay.
Fortunately, because there's no way Alabama doesn't cover 14.5.
It doesn't matter what he picks. He's tied with his dad.
You know what we're hearing right here, though? You know, I had Alabama, like Jake, not by 140, but more like 90. So, but everybody that you talk to says Alabama's going to cover, Alabama's going to cover, Alabama's going to cover. So does that mean that Las Vegas is going to get hammered this weekend and they're going to lose all this money on the Alabama game?
It means Alabama is going to cover.
I'll take Florida.
Whoa. Saban has said that Alabama is vulnerable. Saban had been high on his team this year.
This isn't the Logan Ward show. This is the Eric Ainge show.
I'm just saying. I picked Ainge. I agree
with
you.
Dude, I'm struggling today. I like him. That's the thing. People listening are probably, man, that Ainge is a jerk, man.
Hold on, Logan. Isn't he a Florida fan?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
That's where all this crap's coming from.
That's the way the whole setup of.
He's a Florida fan.
He had to talk. Logan is. He had to talk himself through the picking Bama to feel better about himself.
Even the Florida guy picked Alabama.
So I don't have to see it.
He can make a compelling case for them against the Kansas City Chiefs, it sounds like.
No.
Dan Mullen knows what he's doing, though. It's a whole sold-out crowd at home.
If the spread was 21, he might could.
Yeah,
but not at 14.5.
And finally, Tennessee is, by the only service I could find, a 41-point favorite over Tennessee Tech. Does Tennessee cover the number against Tennessee Tech? Jake Bull.
That is a lot of points. You know, I spent a lot of time in the big metropolis of Cookeville.
Did you?
Yes,
I'm just glad he got it right. We all were a little worried for a second.
It was technically the county jail, but
yeah. I was educated in that fine town.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, Purple Proud?
And lived in the Maddox McCord room.
Plateau Pimps.
You
did go to Tennessee
yes,
Tech.
Yes.
I was not aware of this, but
I was there under head coach Watson Brown.
He read the Bible Mac and Brown. The dictionary,
and
in its entirety.
Those Golden Eagles. It's also the host of the TSSAA state championships.
Yes.
For now.
Yes. And that's the only time state championships are won in Cookeville is when the TSSAA hosts the high school games.
Derek Rogers went there.
And Tennessee Tech, they stink. So
they do.
Give me the Vols.
Jake's got the Vols. Eric Ainge, does Tennessee cover the 41 against Tennessee Tech?
No. Take the under.
Eric Ainge says Purple Pride.
I was right last week saying take the under.
Are you sure?
That I don't think that? I think that? What do I think?
I mean,
are you thinking
Jake, he's going to disagree with you, okay?
I don't think we are score enough points to beat him by 41. Maybe by like 40.
Logan?
Y'all take Tennessee to cover in this game, guys.
Really?
I think two pieces
now
of good news.
I feel terrible about this.
Yeah, you
two
should.
Two pieces of good news. Tennessee will blow them out. They will look very good on defense. And yes, hey, Harrison Bailey truthers, he's probably going to play. The bad news is, Eric and Brian, we're going to get 55 calls next week about why he should start against Florida.
I'm not taking him.
So Tennessee will cover, but we're going to have to feel it next week.
If Harrison Bailey throws for three or more touchdowns, true or false, Eric calls in sick all week next week.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Be the best of the Eric Ainge show.
Did Eric tell you when I texted him last week when you got the guy calling in talking about how Harrison Bailey's awesome and he needs to be starting and I text Eric and I said, I don't know if he knows this or not, but Harrison Bailey is one spot ahead of me on the QB charts,
which makes him two spots ahead of me.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal. What people don't understand when they have an agenda and they want one guy to play is they end up pinning everybody else almost together. I'm not rooting against Harrison Bailey. I would love for him to go out there and throw touchdowns every week and win us all the games we played. But we spent 2 weeks talking about Brian Maurer, the fourth string quarterback. And now we've spent 2 weeks talking about Harrison Bailey, the third string quarterback. Jake and Andy, we're going to talk about you guys next week.
Zach Jancic is not getting a good enough opportunity at wide receiver. He was clearly the best wide receiver in the spring game. Cooper picked the puff for Tennessee to cover. I believe that Tennessee will score 50. I do not believe Tennessee Tech will score 9. So give me the Vols to cover.
They're going to score over 10.
There's really a reason that I've been making some of these picks, and it's because Bad Take over here, I have disagreed with him on every single pick. Who do you like in this game?
Said Tennessee.
Give him the balls.
A broke watch is right twice a day. Yeah, I'll take Tennessee.
There you go.
Oh, all right.
You know, listen.
That's a lot of points, you guys. That is
a lot of points.
I want Knoxville to know that there's only one dealership on Callahan Drive that believes in the balls, loves the balls, that really, you know, wants your business, ball fans.
And it's Rusty Wallace Honda.
And it's not somebody picking the Purple Eagles.
Hey, walk in my office and you'll see all these footballs, these Tennessee footballs, and you'll also see a trophy. You know what the trophy says, Jake?
Midgets.
It does.
It literally does.
It does indeed say that. That's what we used to. That's what we call the Little Bike League. It's not even bad.
It is Eric Ainge's Little League trophy.
I have one of those in my office.
Yeah, but yours is not as good.
You don't have a rookie card from Eric Ainge that says, I love you, man.
I've got his NFL card that is a rookie card that says, I love you more than Jake, man.
No, it does not
say
that.
You know what we all have? You know what we all have? Hands in.
We've got this.
Each other.
Yes. Yes.
We're making the old ex-military Tom uncomfortable over here.
You know what you just did? You found out how to make Tom Tunnell go away.
And he's gone.
I've been trying to figure that out for years.
If someone doesn't make fun of you, they might not like you. You know what, Tom? We make fun of you,
so we
and we don't like you.
That's the pick segment.
I'm so mad that you caught me before I could hit the one-liner.
That's the pick segment, thanks to Rusty Wallace Honda and the Rusty Wallace family of dealerships. Chad, you guys have over 400 vehicles.
Hold on, I need to say this real quick. Tom, yes. I do love you. Keep selling me stuff. Have a great day. I love you. Making that money.
That's the disclosure.
Make that money.
True or false? Hey, Chad, true or false, you stole that Nissan from Cougar and brought it over here to sell to somebody.
It's 100% true. Yeah, I've got it. It's over here. I've got everything. You know what? This is the intersection of selection. I've got new cars. I've got pre-owned vehicles. I've got pre-owned vehicles, Jake, stacked up out here. You can look and
some
see.
Sharp-looking pre-owned vehicles,
you drive into a lot
too.
Of lots, and you're going to see an empty lot. You're going to see a lot of pavement. Well, you know what? You can't sell bread off an empty shelf. So we've got cars on top of cars down here. There's
300-400 cars down here. I don't know how many there are, but there's a ton of cars down here. There's new cars. There's pre-owned cars. I've got Jeeps, Fords, Subarus, Nissans, Chevys.
The trucks.
I've got
there's
trucks.
A Camaro, a Mustang, and a Challenger next to each other. We could...
They may fight.
The three of us could go get in them and see who wins.
Or better yet, there's some great big trucks
you drive,
that we could get in
win.
Easier. But I got jacked up trucks out here. I've got Tundras. I've got Chevys. I've got Fords. I've got Jeeps. I've got everything.
You got Silverados.
You know what? You know what else we got?
What's that?
I parked between the lines today.
You did.
Who drove you in?
My driver.
Chad, thanks so much. We'll
Thank
see
you
next
His name's
week.
What?
Jake, we'll see you next
Thanks,
week
guys.
As well.
No speaker.
The pick segment, the Air
no
Kane
speaker
Show
de Ingle.
Returns to Rusty Wallace Honda next.
Back into the Air Kane Show at the intersection of selection. You just heard it. It's Friday, so the EA Show's on Callahan Drive. And today, for the next half hour, we'll be here at Rusty Wallace Honda.
Short segment here as we get back on track after the pick segment, but a solid round of the pick segment here.
That was. There's been a lot of things today that have been really good. There's been a couple that are just god awful.
Yeah.
But
they can't all be winners, Eric. They can't all be winners.
Well, you know, I say it all the time. I can't be the best at everything.
That's right.
And that means not missing opportunities. Apparently, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
Not good at that at all.
NFL this weekend. Any games that stick out to you that you're excited about? It was a pretty fun week one in the NFL, and week two got off to a great start last night, depending on your perspective, with New York and Washington. But some really good games coming up.
Give me a few. One. Obviously, the Chiefs-Ravens is probably the one that I'm the most excited about.
That'll be game of the week on Sunday Night Football. A game that we can't see here because the Titans are on at the same time on CBS, Dallas at the L.A. Chargers.
Ooh, Stafford looked good, dude. He looked energized. He was having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you say?
The L.A. Chargers, not the
Oh, the
LA
Rams. I was saying the Rams. Sorry. The Rams are on my mind because they looked so – who are the Rams playing?
The Rams have the Colts on the road.
Oh, they'll throttle them. Mm-hmm. All right, go back to your other game. I was thinking of the wrong L.A.
Justin
team.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And the Dallas.
I don't get quarterback things wrong very often at all. I was very, very wrong about Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I did not see that happening. I remember when he got drafted, I was like, that's not a good pick. And he's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
The Titans have Seattle in that 4:25 slot on Sunday afternoon on the road. And then the Monday night game will be Detroit and Green Bay. We'll get to see if Aaron Rodgers can pick himself up off the mat against a Detroit team with Jared Goff.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to be bad every week.
But you hope
it's Aaron Rodgers. But I'm not even a hater of his, but even I think he's obnoxious. I do. If you had to pick a bunch of NFL quarterbacks going golfing, if you have to ride with Aaron Rodgers to golf, I'm telling you, I would not go. I have zero desire to go.
So those are your NFL games this week.
I think I would pick, I'll bet, who do you think the worst golfer is in the NFL right now as starting quarterback? Lamar Jackson, maybe?
I bet Lamar Jackson. Not golf. I bet he is.
He probably grew up playing football and basketball.
Too much
and
fun doing other things to golf.
Yeah.
Tom Brady probably didn't golf much.
He's okay. I mean, he's okay. He does those things.
He'd be fun to hang out with.
For sure.
All right.
I'd rather hang out with Gronk, though.
Eric Ainge's keys to the game are next as we return to Rusty Wallace Honda on the Eric Ainge Show.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the sports animal.
Thursday Night Football last night in the NFL. Washington hit a field goal with no time remaining to take down the Giants 32-29. Quarterback Taylor Heinicke threw for 336 yards and two touchdowns, while Giants quarterback Daniel Jones threw for 249 yards and rushed for 95 yards, and he also threw a touchdown and ran for a touchdown. Rivalry Thursday game, Fulton took down Gibbs 54-26. College football score of last night, Louisiana took down Ohio 49-14. Major League Baseball scores, the Rockies and the Braves were postponed due to rain. The Reds took down the Pirates 1-0. The Phillies smoked the Cubs 17-8. And the Orioles beat the Yankees 3-2. Native Design and Hardscapes, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or outdoor business space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscapes, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Have a good Friday morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. Bad Take Andy's here. Brian, myself, and we're going to wrap it up here with a couple segments. Nothing like a little Eagles Friday, huh?
But I like Food Friday better.
I do, too. I wanted, like, a soothing, calming.
But I like the Eagles. I am a huge fan of the Eagles. Although the Eagles in the 90s, when they made the comeback, they were all in kind of the, like, old man flannel shirt club.
Yep. I lived that life, so it's all good.
Yeah, but you were significantly younger than they were.
Not going to be for long. You know what I do now? I cut all the sleeves and pant legs off that I don't want anymore, and then sometimes I regret it. Most of the time I don't.
Do you regret cutting off those pant legs of those?
No, I love these pants, and I love this sweatshirt.
Okay, so I don't have
to. Just channeling my inner Bill Belichick here.
It's time for Eric Ainge's Keys to the Game every Friday on the Eric Ainge Show. What are your keys to Tennessee and Tennessee Tech tomorrow?
I think you got to start off with penalties. If you just wanted to pick one thing that kept us from beating Pitt, one thing, it would be 13 penalties for 100-plus yards, including calling a kick six back and a lot of big plays brought back. We need to play a clean football game. They're going to have penalties. I'm not saying they need to go penalty-free. You can't do that in football. But they need to not make that the storyline. You know, have one or two. Don't get any blocks in the back. Don't get as many holding penalties and things like that. I would say penalties and playing clean would be the first one. And then second to me would be substitutions frequently. I think this football team doesn't need to play all their starters for the first half and then all their backups for the second half. When you do that, the game's over, and then you don't actually learn. And of course, Harrison Bailey's the one that you think of with that. What about all the backup offensive linemen, backup defensive linemen, linebackers? I mean, a safety, a corner, a this, a that. I know we don't have a ton of depth anyway, but we need to substitute early and often. And if we can do that, then I think we may, well, not just us, because, I mean, yeah, sure, it matters what we think, but the coaches need to know what they have. And if you put Bailey in the third quarter and you're up by 35 or 40 points, then there's none of that's actually viewed as a test. If I wanted to know what Bailey could do in game time, I would play him early and I would play him often because you're going to win no matter who the quarterback is. And I feel like if you could do that, like literally, you might be able to do it. You could catch the ball in shotgun and hand it to somebody and we would win if that's all we did.
Yeah.
So perspective, that's not going to tell us anything about Bailey. So penalties, clean that up. Substitutions early and often. And then I would say the third one would be, how do I want to say that? Position specific progress. Almost sounded like a dualism, right? That was too long. That's the best I could do. Position.
Opportunity is now
here. Yeah, it's everywhere now. Hey. Position specific progress. So, what does our defensive line look like? Conversation. What does our linebacking core look like? Conversation. Defensive backs. All separate from each other, and then clearly you obviously look at both sides of the ball, but we're going to win the football game. So I am calling a game tomorrow that is very aggressive, and that doesn't mean just throwing shots down the field. I mean, honestly, on offense, it means letting the guys screw their cleats in and seeing if we can house some 50, 60, 70-yard runs. That's the kind of aggression I'm talking about. And then on defense, you know when you play Florida next week, if you just sit back and play zone the whole time and wait, you're going to get hammered. They're going to run the football all over you. Both their quarterbacks can run too.
Yeah.
So you aren't looking past them. You don't even mention Florida all week long. We do this every week. You know, Bowling Green, Bowling Green, Bowling Green. Yep. Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Tech. That's all their focus needs to be on. But you can, as a coach, and they don't even know it, be calling a game that you want them to get some reps in because it's the kind of stuff you're going to need to be doing against Florida. Literally, Florida's not even going to watch a Tennessee Tech game. Nah, that's not true. They will. They will get absolutely nothing out of it, and that will not be their game plan.
Their coaches don't watch it. They have like their analysts, GAs, maybe watch it, and they tell them that there's nothing to take.
Yeah, and you know, in this particular case, maybe there actually would be, because it's the same kind of stuff. But at the same time, no, you're not just personnel standpoint. I mean, if you have a welterweight going against Andre the Giant, you know, like come on. So I feel like this game is penalties, play clean. Substitute early and often, and what kind of progress can we make week to week with a different position, not just players specifically, but with the quarterback room in general, with all the other running backs playing. Like there needs to be some tangible takeaway learning from that for them to get the most out of a game where you know you're going to win. Those are hard to play in.
So, if you're Tennessee Tech, what are your keys to come and play Tennessee?
So, in a completely losing attitude mentality, I would be looking at the next couple games that I have to play, and I don't have a clue who Tennessee Tech plays after us. But just like we're going to do the stuff that we want to get better at, so when we go to Florida, we're better than we were the week before, they need to be doing that kind of stuff too. Like if they're going to be running the ball all over the place, if that's their deal, or if they're going to be blitzing every play, they just do what it is you do. Like whatever your identity is as a staff right now, whatever it is, you whoever you think you are, in a game like this, both teams, you go out there and you do it. You adjust. You know who's going to win. They know who's going to win. They get to play Neyland Stadium. They won't be full, but there'll still be a lot of people there. And it'll be a great atmosphere. It always is. That, to me, is like that's as much of this as anything for those guys. And they get to play in Neyland Stadium. That's awesome. Everyone knows who's going to win. If I were them, though, you know what I would do? One thing I would tell teams like Tech, playing us, if you can get under their skin a little bit and get a penalty or two because they're mad, you know, like if I was scheming up Tennessee right now and I wanted to get Jeremy Banks out of the game, I would tell a couple guys, not to be cheap, don't like just run and like hit him and hurt him, but I'd be holding his arm even after the play. He's trying to get his hand away from you and you're just holding it. You know, give him a little love to the ribs with an elbow, you know, talk some trash. Yeah, that I mean, there's a million things you could say and do, but I would try to get under the skin of a few of our players that could take the bait, and I promise one of the things that Josh Heupel, if he's doing his job right, will do is make sure they know that's going to happen. And wouldn't you feel stupid in the second half if you got a penalty for throwing a punch and you have to miss the first half of the Florida game?
If you throw a punch, you miss the whole
Florida game. The whole game, yeah. Dude, like... Mm-hmm. That has to be on your radar. I remember playing teams like that, and they always tried to get to me, but I just, in a weird way, didn't care, so it didn't really matter. But, like, some guys would take the bait, you know, and you're watching them, you're going, stop, dude, stop. He is 190 pounds. You are 300. We all know you can beat him up. Do it on the next play. Stop. If I was Tech, I'd be, exactly. And then they get mad, or they said something, you know, say something that no one else hears, say it to them, see if they can... You can get a penalty or two, something like that. That's what I would do. I would do stuff that you hate. Like if I'm Cade Mays and I'm playing against a defensive end, the last thing I want him to do is play through my right shin around my knee. Even if he get you clobber him and you fall on top of him and the ball goes outside and they score, the next time you go up to the line of scrimmage and you're Cade Mays, you're watching him a little closer. Went for the knee again. Cade, don't take the bait. Just land on top of him and he'll never make a tackle. But that's that kind of stuff, it's not necessarily, you don't really plan for it per se, but once the game starts and you see it and you see who's trying to get you and who they're trying to go after, listen, if you don't think hothead in the scouting report, if you don't think that's in there, I'm telling you, you're wrong. You are wrong. I know it didn't happen like this, but one of the reasons Jonathan Wade ended up getting Dallas Baker, touchdown maker, to hit him, to throw a punch at him is because that was in the scouting report. He's a hothead. You can get after him. You remember stuff like that when they're flustered, and then it's like, you know, it's like a shark in the water. You smell blood, and then you really start messing with them. Don't let Tennessee Tech do that to you. Do not cost yourself and your team a chance to have a starter not available in the Florida game because of something you did when you lost your temper.
Those are the Eric Ainge keys to the game. We come back and wrap up another week of the Eric Ainge Show live from Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 and Callahan Drive next.
It's always fun, Brian, doing our radio show here, the Eric Ainge Show on Fridays over here on Callahan Drive. Always a good time.
Always a good time. It's time to find out what we learned today. Logan, what did you learn today from listening to us on the Air Cage?
You all were surprised, but I'm picking Tennessee to cover tomorrow.
Yeah, that is surprising considering you picked your back right tire to beat Tennessee. And
I was correct the first 2 weeks. I was correct the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, whatever.
Details.
Whatever. Is he winning the picks?
What do you think?
I think no. Okay. Spaz. But you are okay. winning, so I'll give it to you.
I am winning. Yes. But, no, guys, I agree. I mean, I don't think whatever happens in this game with Harrison Bailey or some guy coming off the bench who we haven't seen in the first two games, I don't think it matters that much just because it's Tennessee Tech and they're not a good FCS program at all.
No, and that's why I keep saying that you need to set, like, and it's not for fans. Literally, I always pretend when I'm saying this kind of stuff that I'm Josh Heupel. Like, what would I do if I were the head football coach at UT? I would get everybody that I thought was in the two deep, like, period. I would get them all in the first half. And I would get them in when there's meaningful snaps. I mean, if you go down, even if you score two touchdowns and it's 14-0, put Bailey in there. That's a two-score game. At least you got him out there when it's still a football game. You learn nothing from guys. It's easy to make free throws in the playoffs in the NBA if you're up by 30. It's really hard to make them when you're up by three.
Yep.
So I want to see some stuff that's actually tangible, and not just from the quarterbacks, from all the guys. I want to see them play in a game that matters, that counts. And at halftime, that's probably going to be – that will be gone. You will no longer be able to do that. So that's what I would do. I'd substitute them early and often. Let them all play.
I'm just looking forward to getting in and hopefully having a stress-free afternoon at Neyland. That's what's important to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I don't have the headspace to do it. And we go into Florida next week. That's going to be... I'm going to have a hard time getting myself fired up for that one. I'll just be honest.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it today. You know, what do you take away from an Alabama-Florida game this weekend?
You hope that they're beat up.
I mean, yeah, if you're a Tennessee person, yeah, you hope that. But I don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't think that's going to have really any bearing on whether or not we can compete with them or not. You know what I mean? Like Alabama is in a league of their own.
Right.
And then Florida is a normal, very, very good football team. They're going to get ran, but again, what does that teach us? I mean, short of like players getting hurt or penalties, then they can't play and stuff like that. I mean, all that stuff matters for sure.
Yeah.
And there's no way they're going to go into that game doing anything other than trying to win the football game. I mean, why wouldn't they? They're the number 11 team in the country. They're a good football team. They got a good football coach, a lot of good players. I don't think that'll work out for them, but that's not even a dig on Florida. It's just more of a cosign on just how dang good Alabama is. It's insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's where I come. But y'all, we'll look for it. You know, we'll all watch that game. We'll see what we can get done.
We'll get home from Tennessee and Tennessee Tech. And
Fallon has a birthday party to go to.
Yeah.
That I may or may be in the car watching it on my phone.
Are there other dads that are going to be there?
Yeah.
Are they going to want? They're going to want to watch.
Yeah, but it's when it's your daughter's birthday, you know, like I'm just gonna, like, I love Reese. Reese is a great girl. She's a fantastic person.
I'm sure Reese's dad wants to watch Florida.
Dave would absolutely rather watch Florida.
Well, then you go in the other room and watch Florida, Alabama.
Yeah, you just put it on the TV. I'll figure it out. I mean, come on. Bunch of Southern football dads.
Yeah. It's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fine. Logan, thanks for another week. Bad Take Andy, thanks for getting us set up here and for, you know, brushing all the food out of your beard before you came out in public. We appreciate that today. Thanks to Rusty Wallace Honda for everything. Thanks, John, for coming by and showing us a picture of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We will see you on Monday
turn
live from Green Meadow Wine and Spirits on the Eric Ains Show.
Just turn him off.